All right. Well, I want to ask you a question. Is there anyone who you hope doesn't make it to heaven? Okay, you're all good Christian people. So it took about half a second for you to say, well, no. I hope everyone comes to a genuine, saving relationship with Jesus and commit their life to him. You guys are really nice people. Good job. So what about this? Is there anyone you think doesn't deserve to go to heaven? Okay, yeah, some of you are raising your hands. It took a little bit longer though, right? Like it took an extra half second because you're like, oh, well, maybe a face flashed into your mind real quick there. And you're like, no, no, no one deserves heaven. That's the grace of God. So no, there's no, everyone's unworthy, but God offers it. Okay, good, good. But is there anyone that you just don't like? No, no. If you said no, you'd be lying. Is there anyone that you'd kind of not like to spend eternity with? Yeah, yeah. Like, are there people you wish didn't live next door to you? Right now, even? I heard a yes. I'm putting up the blinders. Like there are some people who we just don't like. Like maybe it's the way they are, the way they act. Maybe some of their actions we find to actually be bad or awful, or and maybe even evil. Like maybe there are some people who have hurt you. Maybe there are some people that you consider to be dangerous. Maybe there are some people who have a different viewpoint than you. They think differently than you. They have a different opinion than you. And you post nasty memes on Facebook making fun of them. Just checking. No one here does that, right? We never post those little memes that needle people, right? Like there are just some people who we don't like. So I'll raise my hand here. Like I try not to post nasty memes. If you don't know what a meme is, I'm really sorry. You who are watching at home, you know. But I try not to do that. But there are people I don't like. There are people I don't want to be around. There are people that I would prefer not to spend time with. But you know what? I'm okay with them coming to Jesus. They want to come and have a relationship with Christ and be saved and turn their life around. That would be awesome. I would love that. Like, wouldn't you love that? Like, think about the people who you don't like. Like, wouldn't it be great if they became Christians? Yeah, it'd be great. Now, it'd also be great if when they became a Christian, if they changed all their opinions and changed all the ways they act to be just like me so I could like them. But it's okay. It's not a prerequisite to getting in heaven. You don't have to be like me to get there, so they can keep their stuff over there. And I'll be okay over here. Like, I won't stand in their way of coming to know Jesus. But what if I am the way that they come to know Jesus? What if I'm the person that God wants to reach out to them? What if I'm the person that God wants to build a relationship with them? What if I'm the person that God wants to communicate his love to them? What if I'm the person, I'm the messenger who's supposed to deliver the gospel to them? Well, okay, so think about that a little bit. Think about the people you don't like. What if you're the one? Well, we say, okay, God wouldn't do that. I mean, I don't even like those people. Surely God has someone better who likes them and knows them and goes the places they go and used to do the things they do and they would be in a much better position to reach them than I would be. Maybe so. What if God doesn't care? What if he just doesn't care about what you like, what you don't like, who you don't like? And God says, no, I really do want you to go. Well, surely there's someone better. God says, I don't know, I'm asking you to go. So this morning, we're going to talk about that exact situation and where it shows up in Scripture. So some of you know where this is going already. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and find the book of Jonah. If you're watching home online, maybe you're on a laptop, you can open up another tab and pull up the book of Jonah that way. Google it, will be your friend. So we're just going to kind of leaf through the book of Jonah. We'll stop and pick up some highlights along the way, but might just be good to have Jonah open in front of you just so you can kind of follow along with the story. So almost all of us are familiar with the story of Jonah because we've seen it displayed a bunch of times. God says to Jonah, go. Jonah says no and runs. Jonah gets swallowed by a fish. Jonah gets spit up by the fish. Jonah goes. Nineveh repents. Yay! Like, it's almost like a cartoon in our heads. How many of you have seen VeggieTales Jonah? Yeah, so I got made fun of this weekend for not watching enough VeggieTales, but I have seen Jonah. Seen Jonah a lot of times. Just getting my VeggieTales cred out there. But we kind of picture the story of Jonah like that, like a cartoon. Like, oh, there's these fish slappers and it's a asparagus or whatever who's running and blah, 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 blah. But when you think about it, like, Jonah's kind of a sad story. And I think that it actually has something to say to us as Christians today in this mess of a year that 2020 has turned out to be. So let's just start at the beginning there. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So who is Jonah? Jonah is one of God's prophets. Now, sometimes when we think of prophets, we think about prophets as predicting the future and saying what's going to happen in the future. In the Old Testament, like, the prophets definitely did speak to future things, but I want to say their declarations were mostly more immediate. Like, they heard from God a word for a person or a group of people, and then they went, and they kind of gave an if-then statement. If you do this, or if you don't do this, then this will happen. And then there was a response from the people, one way or the other. That's kind of how the prophets worked. They were God's messengers. They were God's communicators. They were his ambassadors, his representatives to people. And the prophets were like crazy obedient to God. Emphasis on the word crazy. If you read the Old Testament and you look at the prophets, you're going to think some of these people were a little mentally unhinged. Because maybe they were. Like, you look at the prophet Ezekiel. Like, Ezekiel, to communicate the message God gave him, went out in public and laid on his side for 390 days. When that was over, he rolled over and did it again. Hosea wanted to communicate to Israel that they'd turned their back on their first love, God. And so he married a prostitute. Isaiah walked around barefoot and naked. It was the 7th century. People accepted different things back then. I don't know. But it was just what he did. The prophets were crazy obedient to God. Like, they would do anything, anything to communicate God's message. And then there's Jonah. So right there in verse 2, we get God's message. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. So God gives Jonah this message, and Jonah knows God. We'll find out later that Jonah has a very, he knows who God is and the kinds of things God does. And so God gives Jonah this message for Nineveh, and Jonah says no, and not just no, but he runs. He takes off and beats it to get out of there. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh. He doesn't want to come before the Ninevite people. He doesn't want to deliver this message. So what's up with Nineveh? Well, Nineveh is the capital of Assyria, and Assyria is one of the major enemies of Israel. So when the kingdom was divided, they actually attacked Judah and destroyed the capital. Later on, they would actually lay siege to Jerusalem. And the Ninevites kind of had this nasty reputation. Like, it wasn't just war. Like, they would go in and they would take captives. And they wouldn't execute them, or they wouldn't put them into slavery. They'd actually torture them. They'd torture them and cut off body parts and hang them around Nineveh and just all had a good time watching those body parts rot. They were bad people. The Ninevites weren't people you wanted to hang out with. But Jonah knew. When God tells Jonah to go and gives him this message, Jonah knew God was merciful. We read that a little bit later on, and we'll get there. But he knew that God, man, he's not just going to pronounce judgment on them. He's going to give them a chance. He's going to give them an opportunity to repent. He's going to give them a chance to have mercy. The Ninevites do not deserve God's mercy. Quite the contrary, the Ninevites deserve to be wiped out, nothing left of them, by God. And Jonah just knew. He just knew if he rolled into Nineveh with that message from God, man, God would give him a second chance, and they didn't deserve it. Like, maybe Jonah would have been okay. Maybe Jonah would have been okay if he was praying and God had said, hey, Jonah, I just want to let you know I'm sending Amos to Nineveh. And hopefully they repent when Amos gets there. Jonah might have been, oh, well, good for Amos. Hope that works out for Amos. Hope Amos does really well. But sending him? That wasn't what Jonah was about. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. He did not want to be the reason Nineveh received mercy. He didn't want to be the way that they came to God. So you know what happens next, right? So Jonah runs. He gets on a boat. There's a storm. The crew chucks him out of the boat. He gets swallowed by a fish. Jonah's in a really bad place. And in chapter 2, we see this really great prayer of repentance from Jonah, where Jonah asks God to forgive him. And the fish eventually spits Jonah out. Jonah is repenting from running. And now we think Jonah's probably got his head screwed on straight. And this little bit of irony, God gives Jonah a second chance. There's some irony there, right? God gives Jonah a second chance, says, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, okay. And he goes. Let's check out what happens when Jonah gets to Nineveh. So this is chapter 3. This is chapter 3. We'll just start at the beginning. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose, and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Okay, so in other words, you would need to walk for 3 days to walk all the way across Nineveh. It's a big, big city. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. 1 day's journey. Nineveh, 3 days to get across. Jonah goes 1 day in and figures, this'll do. That's enough. Like, he's not even to Nineveh Central Park yet. He just went in a day's walk and figured that was far enough. It's kind of an earmarker of what's to come. And Jonah called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So Jonah probably feels real good about himself. But this isn't a great message. This does not seem to be in line with what God would want him to say. Like, for example, it doesn't mention Nineveh's sin. There's no reason. Like, why is Nineveh going to be overthrown? There's no mention of what they've done. There's no mention of how they should respond. Like, Jonah didn't really want him to respond, right? So there's no mention of repentance. There's no mention of turning. How about he didn't even mention God once in that very brief message? There's not even a, hey, God's going to quote Johnny Cash, God's going to cut you down. There was no God in there. It was just, hey, you guys going to get busted up. That's it. It was almost as if Jonah was trying to provoke them. Not that he was trying to get them to hear God's message or help them turn to God. He was kind of poking them, jabbing them. He was being obedient to the letter. Like, this is exactly God wanted me to go. God wanted me to pronounce, and I've done it. But he was missing the heart of what God wanted him to do. Chapter 4, he says, I knew you were a God of mercy. He knows that, but But there's no mercy in the message. It's just empty of that. He wouldn't get over his own feelings about the Ninevites. And it turns out his feelings and his opinions and his thoughts were building a wall in between the Ninevites and God. Fortunately, though, the Ninevites kind of put it together, and this wave of repentance goes to the city. Like, remember, Jonah only went a day in, but repentance rolls through the city, and your lowliest citizen and even the king end up coming to repentance. And the really cool thing when you think about the king is Nineveh doing all these bad and awful things. Like, the king would have been the engine behind that, right? Like, the king would have been the one ordering that. And even the king comes to repentance despite Jonah's weak attempt. Like, this is a pretty amazing story. These are like the worst of the worst for God's people. And right now they're asking for mercy. They're asking for forgiveness. But Jonah's ticked. He's mad. The vilest person who doesn't deserve mercy just asked for it. He'd rather be dead than see Nineveh get mercy. He actually says so. So he rants. He gets all up and angry, and he's praying, and he goes, I knew you were going to do this, God. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. How could you? And God says, is it right for you to be angry? Is this worth being upset over? Maybe you should actually stop and think about this for a minute. Is this worth this emotion from you? Jonah is so attached to his dislike for the Ninevites that he doesn't do what most of us would do. Like, most of us would probably just like, well, whatever, and go home. Jonah is so hateful towards the Ninevites that rather than just beating it and getting out of there, he actually goes out of the city and sits on a hill because he's pretty sure the Ninevites are going to mess this up. He's pretty sure that a leopard can't change its spots, and before long here, they're going to mess it up, and they're going to take the beating God came to have him declare. So he just gets up on that hill, and he's waiting. He's waiting any minute now. Any minute now, they're going to decide this whole mercy, repentance thing isn't worth it, and God's going to bring the lightning down. Well, while he's waiting, it's hot out, and this plant kind of grows up behind him, and it gives him his shade. Do you know what's better than waiting for the downfall of your enemies? Waiting for the downfall of your enemies in the shade. It's a lot better. It's a lot better to wait for the downfall of your enemies in the shade. So he's getting comfy, and his anger had been at a simmer, right? Just bubbling. Things start to cool off a little bit while he's under this plant. I want to say literally and figuratively. Just waiting. Jonah dozes off, and he wakes up, and the plant is dead. A worm had come during the night and eaten up the plant, and the plant's gone. And man, it goes from just a simmer to Jonah's boiling now. He is so upset that this plant is gone. And he gets angry again, and he rants to God and says, what happened to my plant? How am I supposed to wait for their downfall in the sun? It sounds ridiculous, but it's what he does. He's like, God, come on now. First Nineveh, now my plant? Are you going to take everything from me? And God says, is it right for you to be angry over this pitiful plant? And Jonah goes, yeah. Hello, I don't have any shade anymore. Why did you take my plant from me? And God says, if it's worth being angry over this pitiful plant, then is it not worth me showing pity and mercy to the lost people of Nineveh? And that's where it ends. There's no moment where Jonah said, hey, you're right. I get it now. None of that. It just ends with God asking Jonah this question. And I want to say it ends that way because it turns the question to us. Is it worth being so upset over all these things, more so than showing pity and mercy for the lost people of this world? So who's your Nineveh? Who's the person, who are the people that you just can't stand? Who is the person or people that every time you think about them, you just get disgusted and throw your hands up in the air? Is it that person with the other political sign in their front yard? There's a lot of that going around these days, right? Maybe you go down the street and you see your neighbor and they've got that sign with their name on it in their front yard, and you start to think about everything that candidate stands for and everything they're about, and it starts to simmer, just like Jonah, right? And it boils and boils and boils till you're going, what kind of idiot would want to vote for that guy? Is it worth being angry over politics? Like, if God had said to you, I want you to reach out to them. I want you to let them know that I love them. I want you to bless them. Could you do it? Could you do it without making it about politics? Could you do it without your goal being to convince them against the sign in their front yard and in favor of the sign in your front yard? What if you tried and you thought things went well, and then you went in your house and saw they had posted a bunch of really nasty stuff about your candidate on Facebook? Lies even, stuff that wasn't true. So, friends, I'll just be direct. Like, the things I see some of us posted on Facebook, we are cursing people God loves. Cursing them. With the things we post and share on Facebook. Nineveh is watching. And what they see from us is that we don't care what happens to them. God loves Nineveh. He loves your Nineveh. And he says, is it worth being so angry over? Are you really going to care more about this pitiful plant, your own likes, your own opinions, your political viewpoints? Are politics more important than these people I love? We've got to quit standing in someone's way of finding Jesus. We've got to quit cursing people that Jesus loves. So who's your Nineveh? Maybe it's the house down the street where the grass doesn't get mowed very often and the kids are always running around causing trouble and there are cars in and out all times of day, all times of night. And you know there's just something not good going on there. And you look out your window and go, someone ought to do something about them. What if God wants you to show them that he loves them? What if God wants you to reach out? Like, what's the pitiful plant that you're trying to protect rather than reaching out? Is it your own reputation and your own self-important image that prevents you from reaching out to them? We have to remember that the most undeserving person that I know of God's mercy and grace is me. I'm the most undeserving person. of receiving Christ's forgiveness, of certainly his sacrifice on the cross. I am unworthy of being noticed by Jesus. And yet he sees me. He knows me. He loves me. Sacrificed for me. And every day, he reaches out to me. Cares for me. Maybe we could try being like Jesus. Nineveh's watching. Even if we tried to run from it like Jonah, we couldn't. Because it's here. They hear the things we say. They see the things we do. They read our posts on social media. So, just like Jonah, as Christ's messengers, as his ambassadors, what message do they get from you? Are they receiving a curse? Are you pinching your nose so the stench doesn't fill your nostrils while you deliver a message? Or do they know that they are loved by God and mercy flows freely from his hand? Nineveh needs you. And you might not be the right person. You might not be equipped. You might not be in the right position. You might not go those places. You might not do those things. You might not like those people. But Nineveh needs you. Doesn't matter. God does not care about whether you're going to be comfortable doing it. He just wants you to do it. So will you go? Let's pray. So, Father, I feel like you might call us to repent right now. I feel like you might call us to repent of our Jonah-like ways. There's so many things right now that raise up that spirit of Jonah in us. From the election to COVID to the racial strife in our country. To poverty. Drug-related issues. All of those can raise up that spirit of Jonah in us. Jesus, do you call us to repent now? We repent. The spirit of Jonah that lives inside us. We repent of our pitiful plant that we cared more about than the lost people you love. We spent too much time defending plants that will wither and die in a day and cursing people who will live for eternity. Oh God, we have been nearly as lost as the people who you want us to pursue. Would you forgive us? Would you, just like Jonah, give us a second chance? And may we make better on it than he did. May we be your ambassadors, your messengers, your representatives to Nineveh. We don't have to go anywhere. We're already there. Please, Jesus, turn our eyes from the plant. And give us your eyes to see people as beloved son and daughters of you who have yet to realize they are a child of the King. Amen.